This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in, and we trust the program will be a blessing to you. Now, again, if you would like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. This program is on the website and can be re-listened to there, and there's a weekly meditation there as well. So if you want those addresses, you might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write them down at the close of the program. Now, today we're going to look at Genesis chapter 27. We're not looking at every verse in these chapters that we're going through, but we're trying as we go through the book of Genesis to see that God has placed the principles that we believe in Genesis, and they are explained to us generally in the New Testament. And we have to be careful that we don't make applications that are not explained in the New Testament. And yet there are some pictures and some principles that we see that are just timeless principles. The book of Genesis is the book of beginnings, and God lays the groundwork for everything we know about God and creation and worshiping God in the book of Genesis. So we're now at Genesis chapter 27, and we're going to look at a passage that is somewhat of a picture of the day and age in which we live. Genesis chapter 27 and verse 1 says, "Now it came to pass when Isaac was old, and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, that he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, 'My son.' And he answered him, 'Here I am.' Then he said, 'Behold, now I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now therefore, take your weapons, your quiver, and your bow, and go out to the field, and hunt game for me, and make me savory food, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die.'" We're going to drop down to verse 21, which says, "And Isaac said to Jacob," Jacob, who was now trying to impersonate Esau and was trying to get the blessing that belonged in a natural way to Esau, Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near, that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him, because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. Then he said, "Are you really my son Esau?" And Jacob said, "I am." Now we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. There's a number of principles that we see here, and first of all, we see that there was favoritism in the family. We can see that Rebekah loved Jacob, Isaac loved Esau, and I personally have a hard time identifying with that. I have four children, and I would like to believe I love them all equally. Now, I know that because of their birthplace in the family and because of their personalities, we probably don't treat our families or our children equally. It's probably true that if you were to talk to my children, they would think that some got blessings and favors that they didn't get and so on. I'm sure you would see that. But I can say this, that it was never my intention to show favoritism. And it should never be our intention to show favoritism. It is true that we are to raise up children in the way they should go, that when they are old, they might not depart from that. And it appears that that verse doesn't mean that if we raise them up to be fears of God, that they'll not depart from the faith. What it means is that if we try to understand the personalities of our children and try to raise them up so that those personalities and those gifts that they have are utilized when they are old, they will not depart from the things that you've taught them and trained them to do, at least in a practical way. The Old Testament is practical. And so I don't think the fact that when we train up a child in the way he should go, that we can always depend on the fact that if we're a believer in the Lord, that they're going to be a believer in the Lord. But we should train them up with a desire to mold them according to the gifts and the personalities that God has given them. We should not, however, show favoritism. One should not be favored and preferred above another. And yet in this case, Rebekah preferred Jacob. and Isaac preferred Esau. Now, we have seen already that Esau despised his birthright. He came in hungry one day from the field, and he wanted to eat, and he said Jacob had prepared some lentil soup, apparently, or vegetable soup, some have said, and we see that Esau says to Jacob, "Give me some of that soup you've prepared. I'm about ready to die." Apparently, his hunting had not gone well that day, and Jacob says, "Okay, I will, but you sell me your birthright." And the birthright was not a mark of favoritism, but in that day, the oldest son in the family became the leader of the clan when the father died, and clans were ruled in that way. Families were clans, and they were ruled in that day. And so the oldest son got a double portion of the goods of his father and a special blessing so that he would be able to carry on as the leader in that family. And sometimes the father saw that the firstborn in a natural way was not the one who was dependable, and they would give the firstborn blessings to another son. But in this case, Isaac was intending to give the firstborn blessings to Esau. Esau had already despised his birthright, and now he comes wanting the blessing that goes with that birthright, and God has heard him say, "What good will this birthright do to me?" And in the New Testament it says he was not able to obtain the birthright later on after he had despised it, though he sought it carefully with tears. And so now, because of this favoritism that's being shown in the family, Rebekah says to Jacob, "Put goat skins on your arms and let me take the goat and make the kind of meal that your father likes." And when he goes to bless, "Let him bless you instead of Esau." And so Jacob, whose name means deception or liar or deceiver or supplanter, he now supplants Esau and takes the blessing that really in a natural way would go to Esau. But we have to remember Esau had despised his birthright. I've told you before that we all have a birthright. We have a right to be saved. And if we despise that birthright, God is going to understand. He isn't going to force that birthright on anyone. He is going to listen to the people who say no to the right that they have to be saved. When we're born into this world, we're born sinners. God knows we're born sinners, but he has provided for that by sending his son to the cross. And now he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And we all have the right to come. And if we don't want to come, God isn't going to force us. But Esau didn't realize that one day when he said, "What good is this birthright going to do to me?" that God heard him. And as a result, even though it was through deception, that birthright passed on to Jacob, who was the second born. They were twins, but Jacob was the second born. But the reason it was able to be passed on was first because of this favoritism, and secondly, because Isaac was blind. And we live in a day like that when it seems as though people are spiritually blind. The church has become like the church of Laodicea that we read about in Revelation chapter 3. And I want to read that with you. The Lord says to this church of Laodicea, "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, 'I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing,' but do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white raiments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent." And when we look at this church of Laodicea, the seventh church that gets a message from John in Revelation 2 and 3, we find out that the Lord is outside this church. And I wonder if that isn't the case today. The Lord stands on the outside and he's waiting for one person who really understands the shallowness of the church, in particularly the United States today. He's waiting for one person to be zealous about the things of the Lord and to repent and to bring the Lord into that church. He says, I stand at the Lord and at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and will open the door. Each one of us have a responsibility, a personal responsibility, to not be blind like Isaac, not to be operating on our feelings and our emotions like Isaac was, not to allow ourselves to be deceived like Isaac was, but to know the truth of God and to understand it. We can't control other people, but we can control ourselves. And we need to recognize that we live in a day when, from the standpoint of the church, it's blind. It says it's rich, but it's poor, spiritually poor. And we're not enjoying the Lord as we ought to. We're not preaching the gospel with the clarity that we ought to. We're not trying to make our impact on the world through the gospel. We're trying to make our impact on the world through grandiose business models and through politics, when in fact that will never change the world. It's only when we are born of the Spirit and our hearts are changed and become new creatures in Christ that we'll change the world, and we change the world one by one. But a church that has become self-centered, that is blind, will never impact the world for good. The church has become like the world in order to reach the world, and the church is supposed to be different from the world in order to reach the world. And so, because Isaac was blind and he operated with his feelings, Jacob was able to deceive him, and Jacob received the blessing that God had heard Esau despise. And so when we look at this passage later on, Jacob is held accountable for his lying as well. Remember, Abraham lied when he said Sarah was his sister. And Isaac lied when he said Rebekah was his sister. And now Jacob lies when he says he's Esau. We learn from our fathers, don't we? And the sins of the fathers become the sins of the children. And so later on, we'll find out that Jacob has to fess up to this lie. And we come to Genesis chapter 32, I think it is, and we find out that Jacob wrestles with God there. And when he wrestles with God, this is after Jacob has had to leave so that he's not murdered by Esau. He's developed, after at least 20 years, a family, and he's coming back and he's wrestling with God, and the angel says, what is your name? And he says, I am Jacob. And in Jacob's ears, that's saying, I am a deceiver. And God says, no longer. Now you're going to be a prince with God. God can change us. God can use us. Let us don't be liars. Let us don't be deceived by being blind. Let us trust in the Lord and in his word. And let us be those who do please the Lord by faith. Now, our Heavenly Father, we just ask for thy blessing upon those who have listened and upon the program. We thank thee for thy love, for thy word, for thy salvation. We thank thee in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.